Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Special Counsel Robert Hur preferring no charges against President Biden over his handling of classified documents. Mr. Biden saying his case and Trump's are like comparing apples and oranges.
Special Counsel wrote, and I quote, several material distinctions between Mr. Trump's case and Mr. Biden's are clear, continuing to quote, most notably, after giving multiple chances to return classified documents to avoid prosecution, Mr. Trump allegedly did the opposite.
Republican caucuses Thursday in Nevada and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Donald Trump, the winner in both of those contests. Here in New York City, one man's in custody, two, including the shooter, on the loose after, say, police, a bystander was shot by one of the men when they tried to escape after shoplifting merchandise from a sporting goods store in Times Square. Investigators say the shooter was aiming for the security guard who confronted them when he hit the woman. This is ABC News. ABC's Derek Dennis says the personal credit card debt of Americans has hit an all-time high.
Consumer credit card debt climbing to a record high of $1.13 trillion. That's according to data released by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. The staggering figure was up $50 billion in the fourth quarter of 2023 alone, a nearly 5% jump from the previous quarter. And analysts say the number of Americans who are late making their credit card payments is also ticking up, with borrowers in their 30s missing their payments at especially fast rates. Researchers say higher credit card debt shows the strain on many household budgets. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
We have learned of the death of outlaw country star Mojo Nixon. His website reports that Mojo Nixon, government name Neil Kirby McMillan Jr., died of a cardiac event after playing a show on his birthday during his outlaw country cruise. He's best known for Elvis is Everywhere. Mojo Nixon was 66. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air, 1260 AM and 107.5 FM WLAK.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An attorney with energy company Enbridge tried to vacate an order that would shut down part of the Line 5 pipeline that goes through the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewas Reservation. Enbridge's attorney argued before a federal appellate court Thursday. They say that a treaty between the United States and Canada bars any authority from impeding the flow of oil between the countries. A federal judge last year ordered the pipeline to be moved off the reservation within 3 years. The daughter of an inmate who killed himself at the Waupun State Prison is suing state officials. Megan Hoffman says they didn't give him adequate mental health care and medication. Dean Hoffman was found dead in his cell in 2023 on his ninth day in solitary confinement. He's one of at least three inmates who died at Waupun that year. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks made some trades. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks making moves at the NBA trade deadline. They've picked up guard Patrick Beverley from the 76ers in exchange for their second-round pick in the 2027 draft. The move seen as a way to improve on defense. Beverley is 35 years old, played for Doc Rivers when he was the head coach in Philadelphia. To make room, the Bucks traded Robin Lopez, the twin brother of Brooke, to the Sacramento Kings for cash considerations. The Kings then expected to release him. him, making him a free agent. The Bucks hosting the Timberwolves tonight. College hoops, the Badgers losing in Michigan last night, 72-68. How did the 11th ranked team in the nation lose to a team with an 8-15 record? Head coach Greg Gard.
Yeah, I mean, if I had the answer for that, Mike, yeah, I'd be could bottle it and sell it. Why it happens sometimes. I mean, why do we go Sunday and have five turnovers and today we're throwing it everywhere? We'll break down the film and I'll get a better look of how and why. And then it's just an accountability factor.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies, lower 30s by sunrise, breezy west winds up around 30 and 35 miles per hour. It stays breezy Friday, cloudy skies, mid-30s in the afternoon. Saturday, lower 30s and a partly sunny sky. Currently 35 degrees.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday, noon till 3, we're talking Super Bowl with Brady Ewing and the Week in Review with Peter Rapine on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the second hour of our program. We will get back to our conversation about what's going on before the Supreme Court and whether Donald Trump committed insurrection and all that kind of stuff in just a few minutes. But first, Phil Itner is a regular guest here on Thursdays at this time on the program, and he's on the line with us live from Kyiv, Ukraine. His video blog you can find over on YouTube as you just plug in Philip Itner. His Twitter handle is ItnerPhilip. And Phil, welcome back to the program. I understand that Tucker Carlson's interview with President Putin has gone live on Twitter. Do I have that right? Or on X?
Yeah, it was scheduled for now, so maybe it's approximately, we're told, about a two-hour interview or something crazy like that. So it may be happening as we speak. I think this is when it was scheduled to come out. So, yeah. You know, just giving an open platform to an indicted war criminal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I strongly suspect, although obviously I haven't seen the interview and I probably won't, but I'll read a transcript. Is Carlson going to really push Putin hard? Is he going to ask him about the children that have been ethnically cleansed, kidnapped, and taken to Siberia?
Over 100,000 of them, right? Over 100,000 Ukrainian children have been kidnapped by Russians.
By their own reckoning, they proudly state that they have saved, in their words, over 100,000 children. Really just means ethnically cleansed and kidnapped.
Right.
When they say saved, they mean, you know, we're going to purge them of those identity as Ukrainian, that mentality needs to be purged from them. That's what they're saying. Is Carlson going to bring that up with Putin? Is he going to talk about the mass grave in Izium or the massacres at Bucha? I mean, it's not journalism. It's information warfare. And Carlson and Elon Musk are contributing to it. You know, the argument that this is, well, we want to hear both sides. Well, you know, in his announcement about the interview with Putin, Carlson said, you know, we have, you know, no other Western journalist has tried to interview or is you know, interviewed Vladimir Putin. I know the press corps in Moscow. They have been asking for an interview for 2 years. Repeatedly. I mean, even Putin's press secretary came out and said,
Peskov.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Peskov came out and said Carlson's lying.
Yeah.
The International Press Corps has been asking for an interview with Vladimir Putin, and it's always been denied. So why? That begs the question, why Carlson? Why did Putin and the Kremlin decide to grant the one interview with a Western, and he's not a journalist, well, when a Western outlet with Carlson? Why choose Carlson, who knows next to nothing about this region? Why not get a guy like the BBC's Steve Rosenberg, a friend of mine, who's been there for 30 years, speaks fluent Russian and knows the place inside and out, but would probably ask Putin some hard questions? Putin doesn't like hard questions, so he'll sit down with Carlson, but he won't sit down with somebody who actually knows his stuff.
Yeah,
it's shocking and irresponsible, and it's not journalism. It's propaganda and information warfare. It's absolutely disgraceful. And to see what's happening on that platform, you know, it's toxic. You know,
it's tragic.
You mentioned where to find me on Twitter. I don't know if I'm going to stay there anymore, frankly, because it's not, it doesn't serve a purpose anymore. It makes me angry. It's toxic. All I see is hate and disinformation, misinformation, you know, bots. This should not be happening. And the repercussions to Carlson, will probably be few and far between. The Europeans have kind of floated this idea of sanctions and not letting them, you know, travel within the European Union. But I don't think that's going to get traction. You know, both Musk and Carlson should be really ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
They won't be, but they should be.
No, I'm with you, Phil. We're talking with Phil Itner, the veteran war correspondent in Kyiv, Ukraine. Phil, speaking of shocking and horrific and unacceptable, et cetera, the Republicans bowing to Donald Trump, bowing to Vladimir Putin, just blew up a package that included aid to Ukraine. And I understand that right now the Ukrainian army is having a ration of ammunition, and the Russians are taking advantage of this by really ramping up their bombing of the country where you are right now. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I've been thinking about what I wanted to say to you and to your audience about this. And I've racked my brain to think of a more shameful, embarrassing, turn of events to come out of Congress. And, you know, of course, there are many, but this is top of the list. We are betraying this country in a way that is, we're going to feel the consequences of it, you know, for a very long time. We promised, we guaranteed this country that we would uphold their 1991 borders. At the 94 Budapest Agreement, we urged the Ukrainians to give up their nukes, and in return, we would guarantee their borders and their sovereignty.
And we included Russia, by the way. It was the United States, the United Kingdom, and Russia.
It was everybody involved. Everybody was, and it is a betrayal. It's an absolute betrayal, and it's shocking what the GOP is doing at the behest of Trump, who is clearly compromised by Putin. This is one of the most shameful things I've ever seen, and I walked the streets of Kyiv, and I had to take I used to wear a U.S.-Ukrainian solidarity pin, the two flags together. I had to take it off because I can't look these people in the eye. I can't be here as an American right now with the embarrassment that I feel, and the fact that there are Ukrainian soldiers right now, they're Ukrainian civilians who are being hit with bombs and missiles that they could have maybe, you know, knocked out of the sky if they had the proper munitions. But we haven't had a full shipment from the United States, a proper shipment of military aid in months. And we're running on empty, you know, and the strain is starting to show. They are losing ground out east. There's no two ways around it. They're losing ground. Ukrainian soldiers are dying. Ukrainian cities are being bombed. Civilians are dying because the GOP cannot stand up to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is compromised by Putin. This is a crisis unlike anything I have seen in my life. I've covered wars for over 25 years. The Ukrainians will not surrender. They will not give up. Yeah, they're under massive strain. And yes, it does look in the last couple of hours, we've been informed that the head of the armed forces, General Zaluzhny, has been dismissed. Of course, he serves at the pleasure of the president, the commander in chief. It's not catastrophic. It's not it's not outrageous. It's not something to set our hair on fire about. He apparently will be replaced by the commander of land forces here, General Sirsky, who is a very competent, accomplished general, and it will be a seamless transfer of power.
Well, that was going to be my question, was what does that mean? I mean, why did it happen, and what will the consequences be?
Well, apparently the disagreement between the two men, the president and the head of the armed forces here, was over Crimea and how to approach Crimea. And the just dismissed General Zaluzhny apparently wanted to take a more slow and measured approach. He wanted another round of mobilization, large mobilization, and he also wanted a new system of training and, you know, take their time and, you know, do a lot of work on the army itself before going for Crimea. And according to, you know, information that's kind of bandied around here, and I spoke to public affairs officers with the Ukrainian forces, Zelensky wanted, you know, get to Crimea. He wanted to put pressure on the Russians by putting pressure on Crimea as quickly as possible. And that's where the disagreement lay. You know, it's common in war that this would happen. It is a show of the strain that's happening here, but it's not catastrophic. What is concerning is the fact that clearly the Ukrainians are running out of ammunition because we're not providing it.
Yeah. And this is where everybody listening to this right now needs to be calling their members of Congress, both their senators 100%. And their member of the House, and raising absolute hell about this. The number is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121 to get your member of Congress. Phil Idner. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Tom.
Good talking.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll resume our conversation about the Supreme Court, Donald Trump, eligibility for the ballot, and all that in just a second.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. 1660 AM WLAK's radio station.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president, just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court, and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election, and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, How Big Business Destroyed the American Dream, and next spring you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold.
What's one of your favorite memories?
Let's see. Well, there was this one time I went snorkeling in the Caribbean when I was a kid. It really just blew my mind. I mean, when you're sitting on the beach, it's so peaceful and you sort of forget there's a whole other world under there, just full of all kinds of life. We saw the most beautiful corals. I remember thinking they were waving at us as they moved with the ocean. And then there were all these amazing fish. They kind of reminded me of tropical birds. They were so bright and colorful, just darting all over the place like birds in the sky. I'll never forget it. It completely changed the way I look at the ocean.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at tomhartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting. Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. You know, it's no secret that some Valentine's gifts require basically no thought, you know, like flowers. Problem is, your special someone knows that they require no thought. I have two awesome gift suggestions that are not only super easy to order, but you'll get rave reviews for your thoughtfulness and taste. I'm talking about super soft and luxurious loungewear and pajamas from Cozy Earth, the brand featured on Oprah's Favorite Things 5 years in a row. Their popular bamboo pajama sets made from viscose from bamboo, for example, are super soft, stylish, and naturally temperature regulating, so she'll sleep more comfortably all night. And you can't go wrong with their bamboo joggers. They have all the coziness of pajamas that she can wear just about anywhere. Louise and I love Cozy Earth. You're golden with anything you order from Cozy Earth this Valentine's Day. And now you can save up to 35% on Cozy Earth loungewear, pajamas, bedding, bath towels, and more, all backed by a 10-year warranty. Just go to CozyEarth.com and enter my promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, for up to 35% off. That's CozyEarth.com, and the promo code is TOM, T-H-O-M, CozyEarth.com. Welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour, and picking up your calls here, Mark in Sauk City, Wisconsin. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Yeah, thanks so much for taking my call. Yeah, it's one thing that the Supreme Court should do is actually, you know, eject the sophistry that the Trump team has tried to place into this, because under Federalist 69, Hamilton actually comes out and says the President of the United States would be an officer elected by the people for 4 years, and he goes on to say, and be amenable to personal punishment and disgrace. So that's clearly telling me that Hamilton actually believed that the presidency was an office under the United States, and that not an aristocracy or a monarchy or a despot, that we have to avoid that, because that's what Trump wants to establish, is
yes,
that an aristocracy, monarchy, or despotism, because Hamilton actually warned about that kind of person when it came to Federalist 75, I believe. Said a guy, you know, might be an avaricious man and, you know, want to increase his own wealth when he leaves office or while he's in office, which Trump did, you know, violating the Emoluments Clause. You know, they said, well, we took $7 million. And if I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the Supreme Court said, well, he's not president anymore, so it's no point in talking about all the emoluments that Trump took while he was in office. Well, now he's going for the presidency once again. And it is just, and actually Trump, that it's my belief that this insurrection didn't start on January 6th. It started, you know, prior to the last election in 2020 with this plans to, you know, to negate the results of the election,
right,
refusing to form a transition team to accommodate the peaceful transition of power.
Excellent point.
And it just continued and continued and continued. And the whole fake electors thing, which another violation, I think, under 14.2, because it's supposed to be we the people that select the electors, not the electors that are selecting themselves, self-selecting themselves,
right,
in violation of the Constitution. And I appreciate your patience when Billy from Texas was sitting there calling us on, who believe what we believe, liars, that it is just kind of, you know, not the most honest thing to do, because it's not a difference of opinion, because Donald Trump has behaved in a way that has been unprecedented in unprecedented levels that since he's been in office.
Mm-hmm.
It's just shocking to me that that people are still supporting him and that he is able to get away with it. And
there are some men out there, Mark, who are just real happy to have a guy who rapes women as president. I mean, he's a convicted rapist now.
That's the other thing that gets me is that how that supposedly, good Christian men and women can support a man who, even before he took office, he bragged about, that he was sexually assaulting women.
Yeah.
I mean,
and he cheated on all three of his wives, and yeah.
Yeah. It just is shocking that they would continue, want this
I'm
to
with
continue.
You. I'm with and, you. Mark, I need to move along, but thank you for that tip on, thank you, on Federalist 69. I'm going to look that up. Thank you very much. Mike in Seattle. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, everybody keeps forgetting about the full statement about what you can't do. It's not just engage in a insurrection or rebellion. It's also given aid and comfort for the enemies thereof, and those people were enemies thereof.
Well, and I believe 20 of them have been convicted of insurrection.
Correct, and he did explicitly on TV gave comfort.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely, and that never got brought up in the hearings, to the best of my knowledge.
Them with that, but everybody drops that.
Yeah,
it's the whole statement. It's not just the narrow statement that he was, he was accused and proven that insurrection. We have the proof that he gave that comfort.
Right. That's interesting. If Jenna Griswold's office, or if the Solicitor General, Shannon, what's her name, Thompson, whatever her name was, if she had argued the aid and comfort provision rather than the engaging in insurrection provision. I think you're right, Mike. It would have been a much stronger argument.
Correct.
Much harder to refute.
But I wish that everybody would use all the words, not just some of the words.
I'm with you. Mike, thank you. Excellent point. Thank you very much. It's 27 minutes past the hour. We'll continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Your thoughts on, the Supreme Court hearing this morning, where this might go, how it should play out, what the consequences to the United States and future elections might be. And the possibility of Donald Trump coming back into office. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. I'll be right back with your calls.
is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartman, available in all fine bookstores now.
Hi friends, Tom Hartman here to remind you that it's your support of our show that keeps us on the air. Without you, there wouldn't be a Tom Hartman program. And now more than ever, it's crucial for you to show your progressive support. And one of the best ways to show your support is to sign up for Picky.
Eaters like my dog Blue. I can get you up to 54% off your First Nature's Blend order, plus a free full-size pack of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom. That's drmartypets.com/THOM or text Tom to 511-511. You can also shop at over 2,000 stores nationwide. There's a store locator on the website. All Petsy and Inc. results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. drmartypets.com/Tom. 35 minutes past the hour, picking up your calls here. And, boy, there's a lot to talk about, you know, with regard to what's going on here. George in Portland. Hey, George, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. A few years ago, you had Mark Pocan on the show before the election. And I called in and I said, Republicans are staging a coup right in front of our faces. And, you know, we're not talking about it. I think we're talking about it a little bit, but they're doing it again. They're planning on having this election some one way or another.
I agree. I think we know that there are conversations among Republican circles about how to support third party candidates in the hopes that they can prevent 270 electoral college votes for Joe Biden, or how they can. Well, that's the main one, actually, and, you know, other ways that they might be able to rig the election. Because, you know, hey, if you can't win fair, you cheat. That's the Republican motto.
There also hasn't been any real accountability for anyone at any high level, right? There hasn't been any real accountability for the fake electors. You know, they'll do that again. Right. If no one's held accountable, they're going to do that again.
Well, some of those fake electors look like they might be going to jail. But what baffles me, George, is why only two states so far have tried to hold fake electors to account. The rest of the states are like, yeah, it's okay. Maybe three. I don't know if Michigan is doing that or not. But, yeah, it's a good point. George, thank you very much. Chad in Chicago. Hey, Chad, what's up?
Tom, good to talk to you again. Want to make a few quick points on why this wasn't an insurrection, and also support Jack Smith on this point, on why he didn't charge Trump with insurrection. So 2 days before January 6th, Trump personally authorized the use of up to 20,000 National Guard's troops, okay? On January 5th, he put out a statement, and he said this on CNN's town hall. He told it to Caitlin Collins. He put out a statement, stay peaceful, remain peaceful, respect our law enforcement, and respect our Capitol Police.
Trump didn't actually tweet that. His chief of staff did. And Trump did not authorize 20,000 troops. In fact, to the opposite, his defense secretary, Chris Miller, published a memo on January 4th that explicitly said that no National Guard troops could provide any assistance whatsoever, including equipment or even intelligence, to the Capitol Police.
Well, I disagree, and you could listen to Kash Patel's testimony to the Colorado court.
Yeah, well, I'm not believing anything Kash Patel says, first of all. And secondly, I've got the document. I mean, the whole world has seen it. You know, Chris Miller's document saying, you know, National Guard, you may not show up, is absolutely unambiguous. And he was the Secretary of Defense.
He was authorized. That day, they authorized up to 350 troops from the D.C. area, I believe.
Nope.
But prior to that day, all right. So Kash Patel is a liar, I guess.
Yes.
We'll pin it
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Right. And like I said, I've got the memo.
Lastly.
Kash Patel is also behind, you know, he's part of this whole 2,000 mules thing. I mean, you know, the lies. Well, anyway, back to you, Chad.
Kash Patel lied to the Colorado court. Why haven't they charged him with?
You'd have to ask the Colorado court. I have no idea.
Oh, okay. If he's such a liar, why haven't they charged him?
You know, I don't even know that he actually said that to the Colorado court, Chad. All I have is your assertion of it. But the fact of the matter is that the Secretary of Defense, working for Donald Trump, the acting Secretary of Defense, Chris Miller, issued a memo, and I encourage you to look for this memo on the Internet. You can easily find it. They issued a memo on January 4th saying there will be no participation by the National Guard in any defense of the Capitol. In fact, I think I've got it here, and I'll read it to you. I mean, it's
okay. Well, again, then somebody ought to go put a set of leg shackles and handcuffs on Kash Patel for lying to the Colorado courts, because that's.
Well, I'm sure Kash Patel isn't the only one who's saying those kind of things.
Okay, and then the final piece, real quick.
Okay.
And I enjoyed talking with you. Nobody, including yourself, and I watched the sham cable show, the January 6th hearing, not one time have I heard you or anybody else mention Trump saying that we're going to go peacefully and patriotically let our voices be heard. Not once. I've never, in the past year, I've never heard you say that. And I've never heard MSNBC say that. And the January 6th committee never once showed that clip.
Here is the memo from Christopher Miller, the acting Secretary of Defense. It's dated January 4th, 2021. If you just plug in Chris Miller, January 4th memo, you'll find it real quickly on the Internet. Memorandum for Secretary of the Army, employment guidance. Is this memorandum responds to your January 4th memorandum regarding the District of Columbia request for National Guard support in response to planned demonstrations on January 6th, 2021. You are authorized to approve the requested support subject to my guidance below and subject to consultation with the Attorney General as required by Executive Order 11485. So he says, you're authorized to do this. So that's probably what Kash Patel was saying. But with these caveats, now here are the bullet points. Without my subsequent personal authorization, the National Guard is not authorized the following. Number one, to be issued weapons, ammunition, bayonets, batons, or ballistic protection equipment such as helmets and body armor. So, number one, you've got to, if you're going to help the Capitol Police, you've got to do so basically naked. You got to do so in your street clothes. Number two, to interact physically with protesters except when necessary in self-defense or defense of others, consistent with the DNCNG rules for the use of force. Number three, to employ any riot control agents. You may not control the riot at all. You may not use tear gas or anything like that. Number four, to share equipment with law enforcement agencies. You may not help the Capitol Police. Number five, to use intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance assets or to conduct ISR or incident awareness and assessment activities. In other words, you may not
help the Capitol Police when they're under attack and by providing them with any information at all. Number six, I think I'm up to employ helicopters or any other air assets. You may not use your hardware. Number seven, to conduct searches, seizures, arrests, or other similar direct law enforcement activity. You may not help in any way in the form of what could be called law enforcement. And finally, to seek support from any non-DC National Guard units. And you may not even get help from, because you'll recall, you had the Republican governor of Maryland was trying to deploy his National Guard to Washington, D.C., and the Secretary of Defense, Chris Miller, prevented it from happening. The memo says, in all these cases, the D.C. National Guard will remain under the operational administrative command and control of the commanding general, the DCNG, who reports to the Secretary of Defense through the Secretary of the Army. In other words, to me. You may employ the DCNG Quick Reaction Force only as a last resort in response to a request from an appropriate civil authority. So, you know, there you go. I mean, I just read you the whole memo.
Okay, I think you're missing my point. My point was that Trump was of the mindset, and this is what we're getting back to, of the mindset of, here, whether he was able to carry that out, whether that order was ever to be carried out or not. My point, and I'm trying to make it, is I'm trying to illustrate the mindset of this whole insurrection.
You mean when he said you got to fight like hell or you're not going to have a country anymore?
Well, let's go back and we can go through all the
I'm not going to go through any of it, Chad. You've made your point. I've made my point. I'm going to move along. Larry in Los Angeles. Hey, Larry, what's on your mind today?
Hi. I had no intentions of calling today. But one of your callers called in and stated that if you have to lie to make a point, then your point is not, he said it in slightly different words, mm-hmm. your point's not worth making. That's a talking point that I use privately all the time. And I have a lot of things that will fit on a bumper sticker that I never put on the internet, because as soon as I put it on the internet, the Republicans reverse engineer it, and then they come and throw it back at the Democrats. That guy got that from me. And I did it just 2 weeks ago, and it only took 2 weeks for a Republican to get on a program somewhere. And in fact, somebody did it almost in the same day, had to do it to me.
Well, I think it's also an old cliche, Larry.
Beat him down.
I don't think this is unique to you. You know, if you have to lie to make your point, your point is useless.
No, it's not. With anything that Democrats come up with, we impeached Donald Trump because he was he deserved it. Mm-hmm. So now they want to impeach Joe Biden. Not because they have anything on him, but just because it happened to them. They did the same thing with Bill Clinton. This is what Republicans do. They take anything that sounds good, anything that actually sounds like, oh, that was a good point, I'm going to use that. That's how they even gain power. So this guy did that.
Well, that's normal politics, Larry.
Yes, it is. But in other words, when I did it to the guy on the internet, first I went through and proved that he was lying.
Right.
And I went through a whole, just like what you did with this guy.
Yeah.
Your last caller. I went through the whole bullet points and proved that he was a liar. And then I said my closing argument was, if you have to lie to make a point, your point was not worth making. Your last caller was telling lies, and he got caught.
Well, I think he thought he was telling the truth. And reviewing the memo from Chris Miller, Miller actually did say you may provide assistance, but only under these terms. You can't wear a uniform. You can't use equipment. You can't communicate. You can't carry weapons. You can't have tear gas. It was a setup so that in the future some administration official could go on TV and say or testify in court or whatever and say, oh, yeah, we were perfectly willing to provide them with assistance from the National Guard, when in fact they had put so many limitations on it, it was useless.
I don't give Republicans the benefit of the doubt.
I get it.
I just don't.
I get it, Larry.
Every single one of them lies.
I get it. Okay, Larry, thank you very much. 46 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back. It's Talk Media for the sane among us. Hopefully, we'll be right back with you.
You're listening to Tom.
In touch with your hometown radio, refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
1260 AM, Amory's radio station. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Amory's radio station.
Is crammed with stuff that doesn't work. You're still not sleeping, you're still hurt, and you're stressed out. That's how it is for a lot of people. So clear out your medicine cabinet and reset your health with CBD from CB Distillery. I've tried it. It's great stuff. It works wonderfully. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure effective helps support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90%, including me, said they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change like I did to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid...
Matt Nair on air.
I want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flipping beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I saw the Ramones in that place on their last tour.
Oh, wow.
I was doing the club next door, and we just walked next door after our show.
Did you use the old, "We're the comedians" line?
That's a big thing in stand-up, for those of you listening. Comics will use that to get in anywhere. Hi, we're the comedians next door.
Yeah, we're the comics.
Like you're with the FBI or something, but sometimes it works. People are like, oh, that's so cool. Come on in.
Oh, you're comics. Yeah, come on in.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's a unique opportunity to ask your questions during the Earl Ingram Show on Friday, February 9th.
The United States Senator Ron Johnson is going to be joining us here in the studio. He's going to spend an hour as we have some open dialogue. Phone lines are going to be open. We'll take some phone calls.
Join Earl and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson Friday, February 9th. The Earl Ingram Show, mornings from 8 to 10, here on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well.
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan.
So, do you like it?
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Have you ever wondered how some people manage to defy age and stay incredibly active into their golden years? Well, just ask Chuck Norris. He's 83 years old, looks amazing, still kicking, punching, and feeling great. Chuck Norris's key to longevity started when he created a formula called Morning Kick. Morning Kick combines 10 supplements into one. And when it comes to health, this has been a real game changer. I love it. Morning Kick isn't your average drink. It's a powerful new formula that helps support joints, gives you energy, and makes you think clearer. Morning Kick has probiotics to shed those extra pounds, prebiotics for healthy digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and some of the most potent anti-aging supplements you can find. If you've been searching for that extra boost of energy, enhance your overall well-being, or want to feel younger, go to roundhouseprovisions.com. That's roundhouseprovisions.com. And use the code EASY, E-A-S-Y, EASY, or text EASY to 511-511, and you will get 40% off and a 90-day satisfaction guarantee. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Text fees may apply. Welcome back. Picking up your calls. Thank you, Mark. Let's see here. Brett in Oakview, California. Hey, Brett, what's up?
Hey, good morning. I listened to as much of the Supreme Court hearing this morning as I could, and I got the same impression you did, that they were just sort of looking for an excuse to kick it away from them so that they wouldn't be held responsible for any kind of action. So they would rather defer to the side of inaction. But it was kind of Harry Littman wrote a great piece back on December 19th. I read it in the LA Times. It probably appeared in any number of papers across the country that he gave a list of three or four of their options of what they probably could do. And then he said, finally the Supreme Court could hold that the Colorado justices shouldn't have taken up this question in the first place. The rationale would be that Section 3 is qualitatively different from the other constitutional qualifications and isn't susceptible to court resolution. And maybe having that in mind this morning while I was listening to the judges skewed my perspective, but it sure seemed like a lot of their questions into attorneys or the defendant's attorneys were kind of geared that way. So I think basically they're going to say that, the Supreme Court of Colorado shouldn't have taken it up in the first place. And then if you want to take it a step further, I do think they're going to not grant certiorari to the Chutkan case regarding immunity. So
I agree.
They're going to leave them on the ballots, but they're going to leave it up to the courts to determine whether he was guilty of the election interference in 2020. That's the main federal Jack Smith case.
Right. Which raises an interesting question, Brett.
Finish your thought. Very good. Well, it basically becomes, the path of least resistance for the Supreme Court and to let the other courts do the work for them so that they...
Exactly. Which raises the question, why is the court trying so hard to avoid knocking Donald Trump off the ballot? Is it because they think that, it's the right thing? Or is it because they're terrified of his minions, showing up and burning their houses down or something?
B.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they're scared. I really do.
Well, and I don't know that they're...
I think it's a legitimate fear, by the way.
Yeah, like I say, I don't know that they're not justified in that fear. I mean, we've seen... what happens when the former president gets his minions all stirred up January 6th, which brings up all kinds of points that I didn't call to make. But like I said, I think they're going to determine that the Supreme Court of Colorado shouldn't have taken it up, basically nullify their results, leave Trump on the ballot. And then with that, all the other states don't have to begin engaging in the same process of whether Trump does or doesn't belong on the ballot, and we certainly know which states would vote states would rule which ways.
Exactly. No, I got
it. Like I said, I think the immunity case is going to get kicked back. And
there's no doubt about that in my mind. I completely agree with you. Brett, thank you very much. Kevin in Santa Rosa, California. Hey, Kevin, what's up?
Hi. I have a question. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
So the question has come up over and over that about Trump was not convicted of insurrection.
Correct.
And what I want to know, and I can't find it, is what law was there against insurrection in 1868 that they could have been expecting that he would have had to have been convicted of?
Insurrection has been illegal since the founding of the Republic. And there's, in fact, a law that was passed in the 1790s called the Insurrection Act.
Specifically that refers to that.
Trump was found guilty of insurrection, by the way, by a Colorado district court and then by the Colorado Supreme Court. They both found him guilty of insurrection.
That law from the 1790s has to do with deploying the military. I didn't see that it actually made insurrection illegal. So that's basically my problem with this. This morning they were referring.
I don't think George Washington would have ridden to put down Shay's Rebellion or the Whiskey Rebellion, whichever one it was that he went personally on, if he thought it was legal.
Well, but I don't see that they would have been requiring that he be convicted in 1868.
Right. Well,
unless a law existed, that's all.
Kevin, I'm not sufficiently conversant with, you know, laws around insurrection to know if they're to know what the specific law is, but I would be astonished if insurrection was not illegal. Kevin, thank you for the call.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-463-4295. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-463-4295 for the help.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. For months, President Biden has urged Israel's Netanyahu to protect civilians in its war with Hamas. Thursday night, he declared Israel has gone too far.
In a Thursday primetime news conference, the president said he was working to end the Israeli-Hamas war and return hostages. He also criticized the number of civilians killed, saying the Israeli response
in the Gaza Strip has been over the top.
Israel blaming Hamas for the innocent casualties, saying that terror group puts its weapons and headquarters in civilian areas. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Two more caucus wins for Donald Trump on Thursday. He takes Republican caucuses in Nevada and the U.S. Virgin Islands. With the border provision removed, a bill with military aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Indo-Pacific allies survived a test vote in the Senate on Thursday. A final vote could happen next week. This is ABC News.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media.